Rock. I'm Jeff Delally, joined here by Robert Scullin and Dale Taylor. And this is episode number 11, and we're going to jump into a few news topics. And one topic of news, Corey, for a second time, did not join us today. We don't know where he is. For the last podcast, he said that he had problems with his computer with AIM and Skype. I guess Corey does not know how to use these programs or use a telephone, because we actually found his home phone and called him, but there's no answer, so...
Yeah, we'll try to get his answering machine in here later. It's a little bit of entertainment for you.
Yeah, but I don't know what's going on with him. He doesn't know how to communicate. But we're jumping into some news topics, and then we'll discuss some other things. And Robert has an interesting story about internet.
Internet over power lines. Apparently, a company in Japan has found a way to deliver internet over power lines, and claims information at up to 170 megabits per second, which is incredibly fast. In fact, that's actually faster than most fiber connections that I know of, residential fiber connections, that is. However, there are a couple flaws with this, which they're pretty big flaws. And one of the major flaws is that it causes so much interference on the radio band because of the high power necessary to send the signal over the power lines. It creates so much interference, so it almost kills all radio reception in where the power lines are unless they do something about it. And I still enjoy listening to the radio sometimes, and in addition, there are lots of ham radio operators who this would greatly affect. So this is sounds like a great technology, but it has lots of potential problems. And I already know that Verizon has fiber FIOS, which is residential fiber, which should be set to roll out in most areas in the next couple of years. In fact, it already started. So fiber FIOS looks like a lot stronger contender.
Yeah, I want. That's on top of my list of things I would die for. And you know, Verizon FIOS or whatever. That's what I want, like, desperately. I would love to have that speed in my house. For like $100, you get like an insane amount of bandwidth.
I think $50 a month gets you 15 down, 3 up.
Yeah, I'm saying, and like for $100, it's like 50 or more. You know, it's really high.
It's crazy.
It's quite amazing, and I'm really excited about it. The future is going to be great with the internet, because everything's moving to the internet. It's a new communication thing for the future, and that'll work great for voice over IP and other things like that, and then IPTV. So I'm really excited. That's what I think is going to be definitely the future. It's going to be fiber optic to the home. I think, you know, 10 years, it's going to be like broadband is like now a lot of people catching on, and then I think when Verizon gets it out, and probably maybe other carriers, but I think this will be a really big thing for Verizon if they can get it out. But it's kind of expensive, you know, laying all that cable, and I guess you have to have repeaters and stuff. So,
Well, I can't wait until IPTV gets out. That's just going to make a lot of good convergence. It's just going to help everything. Because, I mean, I'd like to be able to do everything from my computer. It's just really kind of annoying with all the multiple adapters you have to buy. And it'd be great if you could just run it right over the internet.
Well, the IPTV is not going to be to the computer. It's mostly to a set-top box. It just that you need the high, like, fiber optic cables, you know, internet, fast internet. It's good to like a cable box for your computer. We're just not going through over cable, coaxial cable, just going over fiber optics. It's not, there's no plans from what I can see, from what I've read, and you know, they to have it on the computer. It's going to be all a set-top box that goes into your regular TV.
Well, I thought that was something we were talking about with there was hopes of TiVo doing that, so then you could essentially have a timeshare wherever you were. You could just use your internet, no matter your television, no matter where you were. You could watch it on your Palm Pilot or whatever.
Well, they have TiVo to go.
Wi-Fi.
They have TiVo to go now, but that's, you just put that on your computer or on your Windows Mobile enabled device. But I didn't hear anything other than that. A Wired magazine had their issue 2 months ago. It was all on IPTV.
I wasn't talking about anything that's in direct planning. I was just, It was just speculation on things that they could do.
I don't think TiVo has much of a future, but...
Well, no, I'm quite aware of that, but there was a company out in, like, in California or something that was offering it. Some cable company. It was a while ago.
But this thing that caught my eye, I've heard a lot about it, and Dale has a book on it. But it first is Ruby, programming language. But also, the one big thing that goes with Ruby is now Ruby on Rails. It's a server-based protocol, you know, like kind of like MySQL. But it works with databases for large databases to the website. So it's an interface, you know, it's just a go-between from a website and a database. So you can upload things, you know, it's real-time and really fast. And if you go to plasticbugs.com, Scott Morshella, his name is, he's actually, used to work for Tech TV, but he has a good post on it, and he's got a bunch of links to different websites and online books you can read to learn. But there, if you go to Ruby on Rails website, they have a bunch of videos. And the one cool video they show is making a blog.
I actually just downloaded that about a week ago.
Yeah.
Or a couple days ago.
Yeah, I watched.
Looking at it, it's nice.
Yeah, I watched it on Friday. You go to rubyonrails.org. You can get all the videos. And it's pretty amazing how everything goes it's pretty seamless. They got all this stuff up pretty quickly. Like, they made a blog in 15 minutes. That's the video. But they can just add things in really quickly, and it's really fast. And a lot of it's real time for when you're coding. You can see it instantly. But it's really good. And also, I also heard about it because on Wired Magazine this week, they interviewed Tim O'Reilly in an article, and they asked him what things does he see in the future, you know, that are up and coming and that he's interested in. And he said Ruby on Rails is a big one. I said, you know, it helps. You can make instant Amazons and eBays because they rely on large databases. So it's definitely a really big thing that's probably going to come up soon. And also going along with that is Ajax. I've been seeing a lot of things on lately. And that's what Google Maps uses. So that you don't have to keep, like, with, if you go to MapQuest, when you update a web page, like, say you want to zoom in, you know, every time you have to reload the page and the images reload again. But with Ajax and what you see in Google Maps, it's all done instantly and done in the background. So it automatically is feeding information into it, so you don't have to upload it. And so it's, like, you know, real time. And I think it's pretty amazing. And there was some posts I saw also on Dig. I hate to refer to Dig, but some people made some mods and show some websites that use it, and it's pretty amazing. I think also the Google customized homepage uses Ajax, but I'm just guessing. But it's pretty cool, these new web protocols and what the web has to offer.
Well, as far as Ruby goes in general, I can definitely see how it's as fast as it is just getting it set up, because it's a lot like Lisp and a lot of the other new programming languages that are up and coming. They're very, very high level. It
just, Lisp is about 30, 40 years old.
Well, no, I mean, coming into popularity, I'm aware it's older.
Yeah.
But they're just starting to become bigger now. And because a lot of people thought it's like, oh, you start off with the low-level stuff and it's better if you do it from there. But it just saves you so much time writing all that code like this. You can just add so many new features. It's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of big trend for programming languages. Huh. I think we don't have Corian, who's knows Visual Basic.
Oh yeah, go Cory.
Which is a horrible programming language. I don't know anyone want to use it. I think it's just pretty well, like it's just Microsoft people. But I don't understand them. There's no hope yeah. for them.
Something interesting that I was reading about the internet over power lines is that if a strong radio signal, actually any radio signal over 2 watts, can cause so much interference with the internet system that you can actually knock the internet offline, which means powerful ham radio operators, whenever they're operating, they can seriously take down the entire internet power network. In addition, some places, like fire departments and all that, if they have strong radios whenever they transmit, it causes interference. And since those people are licensed radio operators, and the power companies aren't, the power companies would have to put up with any interference that may be caused with their system. So that is a major problem for the power companies.
Yeah, well, I don't think this is going to really work too well, but they have those Ethernet solutions for the home that use that.
Right, but this is talking about actually sending a way you can get your internet through the power company through power lines.
Yeah, I know.
I don't see that going anywhere at all.
Neither do I. Fiber works
much better.
Fiber optic. Yeah, that's what they've.
I mean, it's kind of nice that you can do it. I guess maybe in like some remote location or something, it might be good.
Possibly.
But it's definitely not in Japan.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But another quick story that going along with our last podcast, I talked about the iPod maps for subway maps. And the PSP on Engadget, they have a whole list now of PSP maps they have up online now. So if you have a PSP, I know Corey will like that because Corey has a PSP.
Mm-hmm.
So
Corey, of course, blogged the how to downgrade your PSP for the firmware.
Oh, yes. Since Corey's not here, we can talk about his blog. Let's talk about Robert pointed to us towards earlier, where is it? The Coinstar hack. You want to talk about that, Robert?
Not particularly. There's just not all that much to say about it, other than the fact he's missing key concepts, and that's over a year old. But what I actually have found that's not quite technologically related, but still impressive nonetheless, is somebody has put together a collection of pictures using just plain liquid. And some of these pictures are absolutely stunning. I'm amazed how he could get this. And I'll make sure that the site gets added in. Actually, the website is liquidsculpture.com. And this is some absolutely amazing photography.
Oh, wow.
And if you visit it, you'll just, I don't know. I was just utterly surprised if that's even possible.
Definitely have to check that out.
Well, they actually had something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it's absolutely amazing that somebody had enough time and determination in order to capture all these pictures. So,
what I was going to say was it was either like Engadget or no, not Engadget. It was Slashdot or Digger or something. They had this. They had a gallery of like the top science pictures, and they had like these really zoomed in pictures of things. Like they had a speck of pepper and like a salt crystal next to each other, like zoomed in, like gigantic, and the colors were changed. It looked really interesting.
Cool.
It was just all these microscopic pictures that have their own identities once you make them like full size.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, we got any more news?
Actually, not all that much.
It's a pretty slow week.
Yeah, pretty slow week. And we don't have Corey here today to bash. So, this wasn't the greatest podcast. It was a short one. Not a lot of news, not a lot of things.
What about the, anyone hear anything about there's supposedly like a new iPod that's supposed to come out, like because there was some slip on what someone said about something?
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Think Secret. Think Secret.
I'll take a
look. Saying they're supposed to use like the 80 gig drive for that.
Yeah, they're using the new perpendicular hard drive from Toshiba.
Yeah.
And so that they can put, for the 40 gig model, they can put with the new perpendicular way how they line up, you know, do the hard drive, I forget I'm drawing a blank now on what they called, but how, you know, they manipulate the bits. But so they can fit 40 gigabytes on the one platter, so that would make it much thinner.
Really?
Yeah, I have the 40 gig iPod footer now, and that's bigger because it uses two platters. But the new way, have you heard about the new perpendicular writing drives, Robert?
No, I haven't.
Well, the way now it does now, I guess they're lined up together, and when they put a magnet over it on a hard drive, it turns, you know, they're either one or zero.
Right.
And they're either like up or down. And yeah. So the new way, they just do it the other way. And so now when they put a magnet over it, they'll turn the other way. So then effectively making it smaller. I that's a really bad technical way. It's probably wrong. I forget. I'm trying to pull it out of thin air right now. I'm trying to think how it was done.
I'll definitely have to look into it.
Yeah, they just make the ones or zeros different way on the discs and on the platters, so they can get more space in there. They use more space in the platters. You know, these are, you know, microscopic levels, but this, so they can get smaller hard drives. And Seagate has new drives out by that, and so you know, I think they're the ones who were the first ones to have it. But now they plan for the new Toshiba. But they also said that they might, along with those iPods, get the new Power Mac G5, the dual core
power PC. That would be nice.
But we've been hearing so much about that. I doubt that's going to happen. Oh wait, guess who's back?
Hey, he's back.
He's back. Let's bring him on and try to get him on the show. Let me see if I can get him here. All right, let's try this. All right.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Corey.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Hold on, let me plug in my headset real quick.
Okay, well, our other host Corey is here.
Nice of you to show up.
Hey, Corey.
Are y'all in the middle of a podcast?
Yeah,
yes,
I just
yeah.
Okay, hold on.
So Corey, what does 8 o'clock sound like to you?
We did 8? I thought we did 9.
Corey, did you...
No, we did 8.
Oh, sorry. And I had my mind set on 9. Sorry.
Even at that, it's 9:12. That is not 9 o'clock now, is it?
Damn it. Sorry.
Yeah, Corey, I believe when I told you earlier, I said 8 o'clock, and you said, oh, right. Corey, Corey, would you mind turning off your AIM? Your game?
Yeah, hold on. Getting there. Hold on.
Oh, yeah. Yell at me. I'm not the one who was late.
Robert, how did you get my phone number?
What are you talking about, dude?
Did you f***ing call my house? How did you get my phone number?
We don't talk about those things.
Whatever.
We have our sources, okay?
Yes, we do.
We got it from Coinstar.
It's called Robert has a very, very close relationship with your mom.
yes, I do.
But that wasn't long distance. That wasn't long distance, though, right? Since you're only in Virginia.
What do you mean? Are you retarded?
Long distance is when it's out of your area code.
Yeah.
You're so stupid, Corey.
Are we in the middle of a podcast? Are you, like, recording?
It's recording now.
Yes.
Yes, Corey.
How long have y'all been going?
About 20 minutes.
Okay, that's not bad. Okay, hold on, let me...
Yeah, we're not going to drag it out too long, though.
Yeah, we're not going to go too much longer, Corey. We're about to wrap it up, but since you're here, the star of our show, Corey, the man, the legend, the retard, he's back, the person who can't tell time.
Who actually speaks more normal English than I do, supposedly.
Oh, yeah, you got that on my blog?
Yes.
That is just showing...
That was just revolutionary news,
just
Corey. Thanks for sharing that.
Just going to show that thing does not work at all.
Yeah.
I think Corey is 100% Dixie, according to this
thing
that shows you how to...
One of the questions was if you used the phrase y'all a lot, and so I definitely said yes to that, because y'all always get on my butt about it.
Yeah, that's very common in North Carolina. I have a couple cousins who say that all the time.
All of us do.
Yeah, Robert always gets on your mama's butt, but...
If she uses iTunes.
All right, so Corey, since you're here, Corey, are you ready? Can you talk now?
Looking, yes. I've got a few things to talk about.
All right, well, talk about them.
Oh, hang on, quick question.
This isn't going to be a keyboard show, is it?
This isn't going to be when you're going to be quoting and not know what you're talking about.
Actually, I was the one that talked about keyboards.
All right, just go on.
Quick question about your blog. Where did you get that Coinstar article?
2600.
A, that article is over a year old. B, you left out some pretty major parts.
Right, who's
it was for so, school.
Corey, since it was your idea to talk about topics in technology, what was a topic that you've been wondering about and maybe we can discuss for a little while? Not long, but, you know. The show is actually it's pretty short for compared to an hour and 14 minutes. So,
well, I really didn't last week go into, or not even last week, but last episode.
It was last week.
Yeah, last week. I didn't go into depth of what I was going to be talking about the next generation consoles and about how basically the Xbox and the PlayStation really aren't that next generation. If you think about it. Because Nintendo is the only one that ever does anything revolutionary or different. Like, the Xbox 360 is just an upgraded version of the Xbox. Better graphics, more powerful. Other than that, it's basically just like an Xbox. PlayStation 3, nothing really super-duper about it. Other than, you know, it's just an upgrade. But the Nintendo Revolution is actually really cool. Mainly, what's been in the news a lot is its controller. Which, two parts of it, it's one that looks just like a TV remote control, and the other one is like a little handheld joystick. And they both, or the joystick has wireless recognition, sort of like the Sony iToy, to where wherever it's positioned, you know, it controls the screen or the game. So it's really cool. You're basically using your hands to, you know, control the game like you would an iToy. Really, you can't say that much about it until it actually comes out and you have a chance to see if it, you know, if the reaction time is good and if it's actually something worth using or if it works. But really, Nintendo is the only one that ever came out with anything next generation.
Corey, did you just use the adjective super duper?
Yes, I used the adjective super duper.
Well,
okay, just to clarify that.
I'll ask a more poignant question, something that actually matters. But, Corey, you're saying that just because that Microsoft and Sony are just updating, adding new graphics, adding Blu-ray and HD DVD things into their systems, it's just a minor they're not revolutionary. But when people get something, when they want a new system, do they really want something really revolutionary? When you buy a new computer, is there something that's really revolutionary from your last computer, you know, in the last, say, 10 years?
Well, because you want something different. You don't want just the same old system.
Corey,
you want something that's...
You're not getting... You're getting better graphics, though. And you get 1080i and 1080p for the systems, and they're both getting... well, Xbox has surround sound, but I guess also now PlayStation is getting it, too. And so there is
no features. Didn't old Segas have those guns you just shoot? It's really not that revolutionary thing. It might be revolutionary the way they do it, but... It's definitely not a new idea.
Well, actually, the light gun, they had it in the NES, and light guns have been around for years.
Yeah, so it essentially is the same physical idea.
Yeah, just because they have a new controller doesn't mean they're revolutionary.
Yeah, because they just make their name say that.
Yeah, Nintendo Revolution. But I think the other consoles have a lot going for it, and I think with all upgrades, they're just adding new features, like from Nintendo NES, you had an 8-bit gaming system. Then Super NES, you had a 16-bit gaming system. And then Sega had a 32-bit gaming system. That was a Sega Super or whatever, the add-on thing. And then Nintendo had Nintendo 64. And then you had the newer consoles now. And so I don't think how much, stuff you can really add into it. I really don't know. I'm not a pundit on gaming systems. I'm not someone who religiously watches G4.
Like yes, some people. You are.
Yeah, right. I have more better time to do my technology. I don't think playing games is actually technology or being a geek. But I might get a flack for this. But I still think that the other things have a lot of things going for it, and just because they upgrade, but. Corey, what system do you think you're going to get?
I would have to say the one that I'm most interested in at this point is the Xbox 360.
So why would you get the Xbox 360 even though you think that it has less revolutionary features?
Because it's more powerful and it looks cool.
Oh,
because
it looks cool.
Oh my god. That's good reasoning.
I'm talking about, like, when you look at the specs.
Okay.
How
this just contradicts everything you just said about your last thing about Nintendo Revolution.
Look, I'm trying to come up with something to talk about, okay? Because y'all are getting mad at me because I came in 12 minutes late.
You came in an hour and 12 minutes late.
An hour and 12 minutes
late. We were waiting for you since 8:07.
We started the webex at 8:30. And
So we were ready for you way before that.
8:50, sorry, we started.
But actually, rather than Corey bashing, which as much as I enjoy, I actually do have some real news.
Right, come on.
That's actually not...
Can we restart this podcast?
No, Corey, shut up.
No.
Let's see here.
Corey, maybe someone shut up on time, but go on, Robert.
Two things. Quick news blurb is that, speaking of flash memory and the iPod Nano, Samsung plans to begin mass producing 16 gigabyte flash memory chips by the end of the year and is actually working on a 32 gig prototype right now, which means that massive amounts of flash storage will be pretty soon become commonplace, which will be pretty nice. Another article is that Dell, in order to cut cost, has decided to stop offer free shipping on basic models. And the only way they can get free shipping is if the items are shipped to their local post office, where they have to pick them up. And Dell is just trying to do this just to save money. And, quote, "We are always looking for ways to pass savings on to our customers. We look at ways to keep costs low and be able to deliver systems within the value and pricing that people want." Which probably translated means we're just greedy and we want more money from you guys.
Well, Dell makes really shoddy products so they can get the consumers a low price. But when you actually look at the laptops, in the last, I'd say, 3-4 years, the laptops are really recently, if you just look at the laptops, they're really, really shoddy. And same with the desktops. Like, they're really crummy.
Hey, I'm using a Dell right now, actually.
I'm using a Dell laptop, too.
I'm not using a laptop. I'm using...
Corey uses that. That definitely says a lot.
Are you using a Dell watch, too? Maybe,
No, I'm actually using a Fossil watch.
Hmm.
But, yeah, this is a Dell Optiplex 4300. And, let's see, I've had the monitor die, the sound card die, and the speakers die.
Oh, wow.
Dell suite with monitor, keyboard, and mouse.
In fact, my monitor died the day after I got it.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So.
Dude, but, you're getting a Dell.
But still, the four-year service contract really paid off because it's more than paid for itself with all the stuff I've had to have replaced.
But luckily now you've gone to the
Apple side.
The good Apple side, good side. Corey.
Oh, some interesting information about Dell, in case you'd like to know. This summer I found out that Dell actually has a 3-hour warranty on some of their servers that you can buy, and that means they'll send some service technician out with parts within 3 hours to fix it.
Oh, I thought you said 3-hour warranty.
How does that work?
Once you get it, I hope it doesn't...
Well, that's actually what I thought when I first heard it. I'm like, why would you do that? But
I see service warranty. All right, I understand.
Who are they hiring that'll be within 3 hours of?
Well, no. The way that Dell actually does it is they outsource for all their help.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be some guy from India coming to your house.
Let's see here. Actually,
they don't outsource out of the country.
I know. It was a bad joke.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Actually, Dell and Gateway use the same people.
Oh, well, no wonder Dell's so bad then.
Oh, get what you said, computers.
Speaking of India, Microsoft plans to release a low-cost version of its Windows software for India in an attempt to check high piracy levels. Quote, "We will launch more value products at affordable prices in India soon to reduce software piracy levels." And low-cost Windows starter version will be available in Hindi and English at 1,000 rupees. Which would help reduce entry-level personal computer prices to 10,000 rupees. And Indian piracy level is around 73%. Which is pretty sad.
Like with China, like they have such high piracy levels. And they're like, you know, a billion people. So Microsoft should really have to pay attention to that market.
And if you give me a second, I'll find a currency converter. I'll actually see what 1,000 rupees converts to.
Well, while we're on this... Go ahead.
I'm curious to see exactly how much that would cost in America.
Well, while we're talking about Microsoft, Office 12 is going to have PDF support to where you can...
Wait, say, do you want to read directly off of the blogs?
That's right off dig again. That's surprising.
Let's see here. Guess what 1,000 rupees converts to in American dollars?
$25.
$22.79.
Hey, good job, Jeff.
So let's see here. We're being charged almost $200 for Windows XP, and it's being sold, which supports English, for $23. Something a little wrong here?
Well, they probably don't let you do too much on that.
Well, there's no real, not a lot of cost in, physical cost in for, you know, any kind of software.
Well, you have all the research and development, but still, that's crazy.
But also, it's a four-year-old product. It should not be priced as high as it is now.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Like, it just, mind-boggling how something that bad can stay in the market so long. It just has such a monopoly. On the market, it's not good for any innovation. But yeah, let's talk about the Office 12 with PDF support. Not a really big having PDF support big in is not really that much because Apple has had it since OS 10 about for 4 years, 4 or 5 years now. They have Quartz, and that has the PDF PostScript. Already built into all of the operating systems, so anytime you print anything, you have the option to do PDFs. But it's not a really big thing because you can do that in Linux too. So
you can also do that in OpenOffice.
Yes.
Or my method when I'm on my Windows machine is I have a program that will make my computer think it's a printer, and then you print to that software, and it will save it as a PDF document.
Which also works
as well.
Yes, that is Adobe. That's what Adobe.
Distiller.
Distiller, that's it.
I can't remember what the one I use is called. Let's see if I can find it in my.
I should check out Ghost Script. I think that's what it does. And
I use Primo PDF. Yeah. That's what it's called.
Well, find the free. I know there is a freeware printer thingy dealy. Deal thing.
All right, so. I think we should start wrapping up this podcast since...
Well, actually, I wanted to talk about something also that I found that was really cool.
Was it on Dig?
Well, maybe we don't want to talk about it, Corey.
Corey, was it on Dig?
Nope.
Oh, well, all right, then go ahead.
Apple II emulator for PSP.
That was on Dig,
Isn't that kind of old?
No. I found it at, like, what was it, PSP updates or something like that.
All right.
I was searching through. It's actually pretty cool. I don't see any practical use for it. I don't see any practical use for it, but it seems pretty cool just to mess around with.
Jeff
built a replica of the Apple II.
Yes, I did that.
Apple One. My mistake.
You do have an Apple II emulator for Mac on your blog.
On my blog, I did a full length, but a long review. I did it a while ago. It's on my blog. Search for Apple II forever, and you can find that. It's a really cool app. I think we talked about it in another podcast, but it's really cool.
I
don't know why you don't do it in PSP. It's a weird hack, and Corey loves his PSP hacks.
Oh, I love my PSP. I downgraded to the version 1.50 firmware.
Yeah, we were just talking about how you had that on your blog. It was cool.
And hey, let's stop bashing Corey so much, but Corey, did that set your clock back an hour also? All right, Corey has already... pissed off, and probably Corey will never come back because he's so mad at us now.
We love you, Corey.
No, you don't.
No,
you're right.
You're right. And so I think we should start wrapping up this podcast, trying to keep them shorter for our listeners out there. And for our listeners also, I hope you liked the new feature we added in our last podcast with the changing artwork and the links built into the artwork. And we'll do that from the podcast from here on out. And this podcast
will also
that. Yes, and I think it's pretty cool too. So hopefully you like that. And whoever's breathing into the mic, please.
Good God.
All right. So with that, I think we should wrap this podcast up, and we'll have podcasts maybe later this week. So thank you and good night. Corey, I said 8 o'clock. Do you know what time that means? It means 8 o'clock.
Robert, how did you get my phone number?
We're not talking about these. We don't need to say these questions.
No, because I'm thinking about it, though. You either got it from where I registered kind of agent and searched for that, or I don't think it's in any of my phone.
Corey, do you have a cell phone?
Nope.
Do you have a cell phone?
No.
Well, how can we contact you? If we can't contact you online, what can we contact you?
I was actually out at dinner, so.
At dinner?
Yes, I didn't think it would take that long.
Well, what's your phone number right now?
Hang on, that's fine.
Is it?
Did you just call me? Oh my God.
Put it up to the phone.
No, that's my mom. It's okay.
Hey, Corey, get on Skype. Please, now. Thanks, bud.
God, he's a cheap man.
We're going to announce a number online. Because
we already did.
Yeah, we'll have lots of people calling your house because they love you. You're the star, Corey. You're the star.
We don't say these things.
You're not even recording. No.
I'm recording right now. I just stopped recording.
Please tell me how you got my phone.
We're not saying this, Corey.
We have friends at the FBI, Corey.
You Corey. Don't?
Corey, no. Your mom gave it to us last night.
Yeah, check
it out. We're having a podcast with mom.
6 hours. Don't dare put it on the air.
Well, it's still recording, and this is going to be on the air. Corey.
My God. It's not going on. You know, they're putting a dough.
You can reach Corey at 9. Also, you can find him at Snyder90@gmail.com.
GoDaddy, you got it from GoDaddy. I hate you.
God. I'm not using GoDaddy, but you registered your name on September 5th, 2005.
Yes, I did.
This information we put online, you can reach Corey at those numbers. Reach him at any time of night.
Do not.
Corey likes to stay up late at night, so you can reach him at 12 in the morning to 5 in the morning. It'd be a good time to reach him. So you might want to try that.